Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Computer Weekly Downtime Upload podcast. I'm Cliff Saran and my guest today is Eric Muntz from MailChimp. I've just been reading your LinkedIn, Eric. You were the Chief Technology Officer at MailChimp. And it says here that you've been recognized as an enterprise finalist for the 2020 Georgia CIO of the Year Orbi Awards. And it says, for your achievements, outstanding leadership, management effectiveness and business value created through technology innovation. Gosh, that sounds a mouthful. That sounds very prestigious, actually. Eric, just to kick things off, would you mind sharing a little bit of background about yourself and about the award and your day job, your job at MailChimp, your current mail job at MailChimp even? It's changed slightly.
Yeah, sure. So first, thanks so much for having me. Happy to be here. Hi to all your listeners. Eric Muntz. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. That award you mentioned was from the state of Georgia or from an organization in Georgia. Very prestigious, obviously. Really honored to have been nominated for it. The gentleman who won it is a fantastic CIO and does a great job. I look at all of those things as team awards. So if you want to really know about me, I try very hard to put team first. As CTO, I ran a team of about 550 or so folks spread out across the U.S., just doing phenomenal work for MailChimp's customers. My background, I went to college in Auburn, Alabama. I'm from Honolulu, Hawaii. I say that my superpower is I can make any conversation about Hawaii, so I guess I sort of just did that here. Fantastic place, greatest place on earth. I live in Atlanta, Georgia now. I have two teenage kids and have been married for almost 20 years. Next month, I will have been at MailChimp for 13 years. So
that's a long time.
It's a long time, yeah. So I was about the third engineer hired to do product engineering work. Did a lot of work to grow the team and grow the platform and the architecture and get us to where we are today with 13 million and more customers and now a part of Intuit for a little more than a year.
What are some of the big engineering projects that are going on at MailChimp?
Yeah, going on right now, there's a couple of really awesome things going on. There's actually a launch, I think, coming out today. We feature flag things, so it'll roll out sort of slowly and then hit all audiences soon. But there's a thing called Campaign Manager. I believe it's the first tool of its kind that provides a single source of truth to sort of advanced marketers who need to plan and view multiple multi-channel and long-running campaigns. So instead of just looking at as like, I've got my audience, I've got an email, I've got my audience, I've got an automation, you get a full calendar that really shows you and visualizes everything that's going on across all of the channels and keeping long-running campaigns going and really ties everything together. It's just the first rollout, and as we usually do, the first rollout is just the first of many, many more to come. Really believe heavily in iteration and viewing what's going on with customers and interviewing them and figuring out what's best to do next. So there will be more coming after that.
Okay.
And then the other thing that I'm really excited about is webhooks. So we are launching outbound webhooks in our automations architecture that'll allow for our customers to use automation to speak to any other application, right? So you can imagine a MailChimp customer sends a survey, like an NPS score style survey that says, how did you like our service? Or how did you like, you know, the shoes you bought or whatever else.
Yes,
and once they take that, they can then set up an automation that says after they've answered the survey or if they've answered it this way or that way, then send a webhook off to some other service. And so that service can really be anything.
Okay. I mean, I just want to pick up on one point there, and it's mainly for, you know, my naivety on this, but it would help our listeners as well. What is the difference between a webhook and, say, an API, an application programming interface? Why webhook?
So webhook is the way that I would explain it here. An API is a little more strict and a little more specifically formed to a specific endpoint, right? So an API, you would say, I'm going to call this endpoint with this authentication protocol, and I'm going to make a call in this way. Some of them are REST specific, so you do, you know, GET request or POST or PUTs or whatever else to make changes. Whereas a webhook is just going to make a request to any URL.
Yes.
With any set of tokens, any set of values, and any sort of authentication protocol, actually, you can just stick in front of it. So MailChimp's API is really, really powerful for folks to get data in and out of MailChimp in a very formed and specific way.
Yes.
And then these webhooks are MailChimp calling out to any external service so that there doesn't actually have to be an existing API connection between the two. It can just be... and actually, you can make API requests with these webhooks, right? And a great example is you might use an SMS service and say, you know, I wanna after this has happened, I wanna call the SMS service to send a text message to my customer. Well, the SMS service will have an API endpoint configured and set up, and so you can use this webhook to make those API requests, right? An example I've been playing with that I'm gonna put up some. Documentation on for our customers is how to send Slack messages.
Okay.
Right.
Yes,
so
yeah.
So I have a little automation running that I in my MailChimp account that I use to communicate with our team, and when someone does a specific action, I get a Slack message that says, you know, the person clicked your message or opened your email or whatever else.
Oh,
so
amazing.
Yeah, it's just super handy. And you know, if I could keep going, you can chain them together.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So you could have an automation that says send a webhook, and then the very next thing send another webhook and another webhook, and you can just fire it off to, you know, maybe four different services if you need to do that. Yeah.
Just moving on a bit, Eric. So in your intro, you were talking about engineering and teams, and I wanted to ask you about how do you bring on board new engineers, and what benefits have you seen by bringing them into projects, into some of these big projects or some of the existing projects? How has it been helping MailChimp?
Yeah, well, it helps the team in a ton of ways. I mean, obviously, we're trying to get a lot done, and I think just about every software development shop feels like they don't have quite enough people to meet their ambitions, right? So prioritization is extremely important and extremely difficult. So bringing in new folks can certainly help with that. And, you know, I think what you want to do philosophically is bring in folks who are going to help round out the team. You may have a team that has a bunch of great folks doing front-end development, but not maybe so great on the back end or on, you know, performance tuning or database development or whatever else. So you look to fill those gaps specifically. And that tends to really help as you're building out teams and provide benefit to customers and benefit to everyone else. One of the things I really believe in, and, you know, if someone asks me what I'm most proud of over the 13 years I've been here, about 10 or 11 years ago, we started, an apprenticeship program.
Okay.
And the program was built to bring folks from other departments at the company into engineering. So it might be that there's a customer service agent or someone in QA or someone in marketing that is interested in coding and knows enough, but maybe has a hard time breaking through at an external company.
Yes.
And so we then interview them, you know, make sure they know the fundamentals, and then give them a 3-month position on the engineering team working with, you know, a group of engineers, and it's sort of a try to buy.
Okay.
Where at the end of it, the engineering team decides whether they want to hire the person, and the person decides whether they really want to be an engineer on the team. And if they do, they end up joining the engineering team. If they don't, they go back to wherever it was they were working before. And it has just created such a great group of engineers. We had at one point, I don't know the current number, but at one point we had over 70 folks in MailChimp's engineering department who had started at MailChimp not in engineering.
Oh, that's amazing.
I
mean, I was going to follow up on that. We know that there's, I mean, you've touched on it anyway, that it's really hard to hire people and get skills in. And clearly, I mean, an apprenticeship program is a great way of building skills in-house. Do you work with external partners, or is it very much building this core competency in-house?
We don't. Yeah, it is all building the core competency in-house. At one point, we did an external apprenticeship where we partnered with the Boys and Girls Club of Atlanta and a group called Treehouse. Mm. Treehouse provided the education materials and the training, and the Boys and Girls Club of Atlanta provided the people who wanted to do the work. We haven't done that in a few years. We're still focused internally for that. And then all of our hiring, we have in-house talent folks, recruiters, and our engineering management team and our engineering team does all of the interviewing. We believe really heavily in sort of a choose your own adventure approach for hiring, because we want to make sure that you as a potential incoming engineer are allowed to show how you work at your best. And that's not always the same for everyone. So someone might want to actually get on a whiteboard and write code. Someone may want to do pair programming. Some people may just want to have a conversation about architecture and infrastructure and how it works. Some people may want to take home exercise. And so we try to make sure that, because what we want to do is, if there's one position and six candidates, we want to see all six of those people at their very best and try to pick the very best from that. So we try to make sure that things are tailored to the extent we can possible for the candidate.
That's the key point, isn't it? I mean, it takes me on to my next question, actually. It's, by tailoring all of these different ways that people like to work, how are you able to bring it all together so that you do have an engineering team? I mean, a team is a team, right? It's a team is a team. That's not a very good way of saying it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
a bunch of people who work really well together. That's what a team is.
Absolutely. Yeah, a team is a team, and there's no I in team, right? We center everything really around our engineering team mission. So this is a mission statement that we developed a few years ago that has really served us well. And our team mission is that we provide marketers with production-ready software designed to help them grow. And we succeed through togetherness, momentum, and pragmatism. And so really, if you pull out four key phrases there, it's production ready, togetherness, momentum, and pragmatism.
Yes.
And I could run through each four of those if you want, but they are sort of the four stools that make our teams work really well together. If any one of them are necessarily out of whack, we're going to not be serving customers well, and we're not going to be serving the business well, and the team's not going to be serving each other well. And so we really look at those four pillars, and then we build our career levels and all of our feedback mechanisms and everything around how the teams are doing across those four areas.
I mean, I think it would be helpful if you could, give a sort of practical example of how those four pillars kind of come together and how they work.
Yeah, for sure. So production ready, is easily confused as being like bug-free and perfect. And that is not actually what we're looking for. Essentially, production ready is, it means that when you launch something, it will be observable and it will be observed, right? So there's a social contract that we have for releasing. We call it production ready, that when you release some code, because we deploy 100 times a day, we are CI/CD, we're just basically always deploying, that you watch it and you make sure that it's performing in the way you expect it to perform. And if it's not, that you take accountability and very quickly correct the fact that it's not performing the way it's expected to perform. And that then leads to togetherness, because you probably can't do that alone. So you need to be working with teammates so that your teammates understand what changes you're making, why you're making those changes, maybe what problems you're facing, and how to talk and work together to overcome them, which then leads to pragmatism. Because, you know, as you start to get together with other folks and talk about problems, you can start to sort of astronaut architect things, right? Mm-hmm. And look for ways to make them way overly perfect. And it's the team's responsibility together to make sure that, you know, it's going to fit the long-term needs, but it has short-term benefit, right? And that you can then observe it and figure out how to make it better from there. All of that comes together with momentum. Mm-hmm. You've got to get things moving quickly. Small businesses need us innovating and need us moving quickly. Yeah. I have a great story that just happened with some engineers. If you have the time for me to walk through it, that I think demonstrates all of this. So we had a fairly large customer who I won't name that had about eight and a half million email addresses on their list. So they are, you know, fairly large. Mm-hmm. Certainly not our largest, but fairly large. And their business requires that they send time-critical emails. So they would send like coupons and say, this is only valid for the next 4 hours.
Yes.
So they sent a campaign to 8 million people. And it was taking a very long time to send. It looked like it was taking two or three times as long as their normal campaigns would send. So it was taking about 15 hours to finally get this full campaign out, which is not an okay, right? That is not production ready. It's not okay. So, you know, they reach out, we get some engineers looking at it and, you know, worked late into the night, you know, looked at what's going on with some database queries, thought maybe we needed to index a particular column and adjust a query. So we made some changes and we felt pretty confident that it was going to get better when they send the next morning. So they go send the next morning. We get together and look at it and we were wrong. It was still sending very slowly. So we broke into two groups. And one of the groups was just going to actively trace exactly what was happening to see where things were slow. And the other was going to examine maybe a potential idea of a way to parallelize what they're doing so that it can go faster. The tracing team actually found some code we had put in place that just got ramped up feature flag wise to do some sort of back end machine learning work that was slowing things down. So they reverted that change. You know, went togetherness and alerted that team and said, hey, we found this. We need to do some things there. And that sped things up a good bit. And the parallelization team came back and figured out a way to do a map reduce across the 8 million. And it was a little risky. They were like, you know, we don't know with high confidence that this is safe. I tested it on, you know, my own account of like 300 emails and it worked, but we don't have a whole extreme confidence that it's safe. And that's where I stepped in because I was helping with the on-call situation and said, you know, I will take business responsibility. Customer's already mad. I don't think that it's going to get worse necessarily. We could just revert back to what's happening. Let's try it. So we did it and we were able to get their campaign sent out in under 4 hours.
Amazing.
That same team then just didn't stop and kept working and looking at it and found another way to split the campaign to add parallelization across split up campaigns that were, you know, mutually exclusive and collectively exhaustive across the list. And now for the entire payload generation process of sending that email, because there's this whole other thing that goes on with ISPs and email that I'll save you and your listeners from. But the payload generation part where you start sending it to the ISPs for that entire email can happen in under 2 hours now. And so it was just like, you know, all four pillars sort of coming together.
I mean, I think this would be really interesting for our IT leaders who are listening in. What are the warning signs when things don't seem to be going right with